Okay.
I have trust issues. I don't need to fix my trust issues. I just need to not trust anybody. So what I'm gonna do is never trust a nigga.
What's up? This is Chris and Hannah.
What's up?
And this is the 1 cent each podcast. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Give us a big 5-star rating and tell somebody about it.
But I was thinking about it driving here. I was like, dang, your dreams are way harder to hustle than drugs. Because I was like, everybody want to get high. Nobody want to fucking listen to you.
Yeah.
Like, everybody, not everybody, most people, a lot of people like getting high or whatever vice you sell, whether it's a bitch or drugs or games or whatever your vice is. It's like vices are just easier to hustle and sell. And there's such a bigger market for food, for that, whatever you overindulge on. But your dreams are hard as fuck to sell people on.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely takes an amount of tenacity to continue to do it and have the mindset that I'm going to do this until I'm successful. Mm-hmm. Because the reality is the majority of people don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of people, I'm going to do it, but now this is hard, so I'm going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go get my job. I'm going to stay with my job, with my benefits, and just get used to this cycle of work and then spend it and then work to make it to then spend it again to work to make it. Because that's constant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that I say to people all the time is, I know it's difficult, but do not give up on your own dreams. Because the reality is you're living in somebody else's dream all the time, 24/7, and you will do it until you die. So if that's automatically going to happen, then you might as well put something out there, put your dream out there, whatever it is. So
and have fun doing this shit, enjoy it. If you like baking, really make something out of that. Really do something with that. You shouldn't have to be sitting there fucking doing computer or paperwork all day and shit like that, and you sitting there be like, I wish I could fucking be making a pecan pie right now. Do you say pecan or pecan or?
I say pecan.
Oh shit, the third option. I didn't even mention.
Is that a third? What?
Pecan. Is that like UK?
What do you say, pecan?
Pecan.
You say pecan?
Pecan pie. Pecan. It's a pecan.
From where are you from?
Pie. Rochester, New York. It's a pecan pie. Pecan. Maybe the tea and the pecan pie. Pecan.
I didn't say it's just, it's a country.
Pecan. Pecan, so I don't know. Pecan.
You say pecan literally 100% of the time that you say the word pecan?
Yeah, pecan pie is my favorite pie. It really is. So I say it often, pecan pie.
Pecan pie is dope.
What is that? I've never had it. It sounds dry. Pecan pie sounds dry.
They're pecans. You go. I used to pick pecans with my grandmama.
Whoa. Because
she would make her own pecan pie.
That's dope.
Pecan. It's whatever. If you say pecan, it's fine.
It's fine.
I'm not like Cynthia. I won't bag on you for a rack. You know,
you
just
will.
Be like, I won't. It'll be distinct and interesting. I'm going to hear it. I'm going to automatically hear you say pecan. Like, ooh, okay, pecan. You got to be intentional when you say pecan pie. Pecan.
I feel like when you say pecan, what are you trying to prove? Like,
no,
are you trying to prove a point to somebody?
I'm not proving anything. That's just
trying to flex your GPA, your IQ. Like,
it
pecan.
Naturally comes out of my mouth that
it's
way.
It's a pecan pie.
See, you making it a competition. We're not competing.
And we're gonna see. I want to see if you have pecan.
Yeah, pecan. Who says pecan? Who says pecan? Like, how many people? Because, okay, pecan. I just have to think about it. It's fine. Pecan.
Now that I'm trying to prove my point, I'm like, damn, there probably should be an extra E in mine. I think I'm mixing the extra E.
Ooh,
pecan.
Huh.
I don't know.
Okay, so.
So that's, yeah, kind of the gist of.
Your mental, I like knowing what about people's mental, you know, their thought process. You know, so what do you do? Because living your dreams is hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
very.
when you reach rough moment, like, what do you do to kind of get over that hump?
I would say my family definitely helps me with that.
Okay.
To be honest, smoking weed helps me with that. You know, because sometimes I'll be like, damn, something would really bother me. And then I'll smoke a blunt and I'll be like, I'm okay with it. I'll really be okay with it. I'll be watching something else random on my phone. Like, my brain will be off on another track. So, you know, I think if I ever have kids and stuff, that's probably when I'll stop smoking weed. But until then, you know, I'm not on hard drugs, because some people in this industry, they take very, very hard drugs to deal with shit. They pick up a lot of really bad habits, and they become miserable inside. So to me, I'm like, fuck it. I got to learn that this industry can give you anxiety, it can give you panic attacks, it can give you depression, it can give you all of these types of disorders, because you're in such a high-pressure cooker situation. Mm-hmm. Like, the entertainment industry ain't nothing to fuck. Shit ain't sweet. It ain't nothing to play with. I done been on these big TV sets. I done been around millionaires. I done seen all these people do all of this shit, everything. Seeing people be miserable, seeing people be happy, seeing people have it, obtain it, lose it, get it back, all these different things. And my brain and my subconscious is taking this in and trying to make a guide map of what I do and don't want to do. So to me, I feel like I'm learning to put less on my plate. I'm learning to build more of my own brand versus, like, having to work for other companies. Because even if you're not working a 9-to-5, like, Walgreens, when you get on some of these TV sets or you become a producer or a writer on some of these, and you're working 14-hour days, you can't leave. Like, you might as well fucking be working like that. So I'm learning to take it easy, build my shit, smoke a blunt, relax. You don't seem like you smoke because your eyes are way too open all the fucking time.
Look how big your whole, I can see all of your whites.
But I'm just saying, you be so chipper. Like, I just feel like I'm more like, you know, just like, you play.
You're not chipper?
Maybe I am chipper. Inside, I don't feel, I'd probably be bouncing off the walls if I don't know. But you don't smoke though, right?
I don't smoke.
Right. Yeah, you're awake. You just seem very like,
I don't understand.
Ready to run a marathon.
You don't feel like you're that. Because I see that.
Because inside I'm really relaxed right now. No, but I am very hyper though. I was hyper from a young age. So that's what I'm saying. I'm like, I could smoke indica, which is the sleepy kind of like knockout. And I'll still be like, boop, 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 boop. So imagine me not having that type of like, that's where anxiety comes in. Don't you feel like if you have all this energy, your brain overthinks, your body, like.
Here's the thing. I am extremely energetic, extremely positive on purpose because I know life can really drain you and can really take a lot out of you. Plus, doing and pursuing something, you know, that we're pursuing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, it's wild. So when you talk about depression and anxiety and self-esteem issues and all these things, I work really hard. Not that I have to work hard to be positive, but I work hard on being positive for other people because I know other people are going through whatever they're going through, and I want to in some way be some kind of, you know, light or positivity or whatever, because I know they're going through things, you know. And I feel like I was just kind of born with this abundance of it, so it's like, well, that is a clear sign to me. Oh, because you're supposed to be giving it out, you know. So take it, and you got a lot. Use it for yourself when you go through your rough moments, but then dish it out because people, that's what they're looking for. Even though it don't seem like they're looking for that, you know, when you talk about dancing and happy videos, like, that's their form of positivity. You know, Cynthia is happy, so you know what? I'm kind of not, so I'm going to take hers and use it for myself.
Yeah.
You know, so, but other than that, like, I'm just kind of happy, you know, regardless. You know, and
why don't you smoke? Have you tried it?
I haven't tried it. I've only wanted to try it.
I'm like, what is this?
Since I've been married for some reason. And I don't know why. I wanted to make that something because my wife has never smoked either. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yo, babe, we should try this together.
I'll get y'all high. Let's
but
do here, it.
But this, but she doesn't want to.
Oh, then
because
never mind.
She's okay. Very much.
No, I get that.
Dare, like, mm-hmm. to keep kids off drugs.
That's good.
Type of thing. Mm-hmm. And she was like, no, I always told myself I would never do drugs. Mm-hmm. I'm like, baby, it's okay.
But I do think, right, because self-diagnosis is terrible. But, because I'm like, I be looking up different things, and I'm like, I don't know what it is. I don't think I have full-on anxiety. I don't think I have full-on, you know, sometimes when I've gone through things, I'm like, this don't feel like full-on depression. I just feel really fucking down today, yeah. or I feel really fucked up. And you get in these things where I'm like, maybe it's not a serious situation, but mm-hmm. for people who feel the same or less symptoms, they really do get prescription drugs. Yeah, and to me, I'm like, would you rather do this? And I don't think that's a permanent solution either, because, you know, I love people like you who just wake up and be like, I feel high off life. Like, that's great. I don't. Sometimes right. I need to wake up and I need to be like, who my brain can't relax. Like, I yeah. wake up and it's like, nigga, I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about that, I gotta do da 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 da. And that's like a who, like, now I can think, I can relax.
Yeah, yeah. And I definitely.
Some people don't do that with coffee, and coffee's terrible for you.
Yeah, man, caffeine constantly. Every
it puts
day?
Holes in all of your intestines.
And I heard coffee, there's some sort of chemical that's supposed to be released anyway in the morning to get you up. Mm-hmm. But coffee suppresses that.
Oh, really?
Because the caffeine wakes you up, so your body says, oh, I don't need to release it because you already did Damn. Through coffee. So you start to release less and less of it. And mm-hmm. I was like, sheesh, that's crazy.
And then you sit there and walk by me smoking my weed in a state where it's not really legal and want to give me the side eye with your Starbucks in your hand. Bitch, you want a drug.
Yeah, right.
You know, we all out here. On drugs. Yeah, so yeah. The world on drugs.
In some way, you know. But I don't wake up, you know, they slow moving. Like, they just enjoying, like, we don't want to move quickly.
Opioids, those are some opioids. Some perk 30s. Lean is serious out here in Texas. I don't partake in none of that.
But I don't wake up. I'm not happy all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm positive all the time. That doesn't mean I'm happy all the time.
Ooh, and that's a really good thing for people to realize is, like, you can be positive and not really feel that euphoric, happy, yeah. everything is okay, life is great, feeling and still be positive. Yeah. Positivity and happiness are two different things.
Yeah, you know, so I always go back to, you know, hey, positive, let's, you know, be happy. But, yeah, my, you know, marriage can be stressful and kids, you know, can be stressful. And where I work with kids, and I work with kids in a, like, in-house suspension, IHS, like, mm-hmm. that type. That's me. Like, mm-hmm. that's what I do. So the kids that come in there are really down on themselves and, you know, dealing with
going
things.
Going through a lot.
So that can, because I'm so, I want them to be better or do mm-hmm. better, you know, that can really take a lot out of me, you know, sometimes. You know, so, yeah, I go through, you know, moments.
And how do you fill back up?
I really just kind of, sometimes it's easy to be forgetful about the good things that have already happened in your life. Mm. Like, people want to move forward so much, and it's like, hey, realize that you do, even if you don't have this thing that you want, this opportunity that you don't, you know, have yet, mm-hmm. you have had opportunities in the past. Mm-hmm. You do have family that supports you. You do have people that love you. You have mm-hmm. accomplished, you know, things. Because to me personally, I can get to a point to where I start thinking about my age. And I be like, bro, mm-hmm. you old. And bro, you didn't go out when you were younger and live your dreams. Yeah. You should have went to Cal. You shouldn't have. You was already in California. You mm-hmm. shouldn't have moved back because mm-hmm. you would have been so far ahead. Mm-hmm. And now you stopped doing comedy for 6 years. Mm-hmm. And now you starting back. Like, now you're not as this and not as. And it's like, hey. This is you being mm-hmm. way too negative, bro.
But I think that's good. It's a balance of, like, that should be the fuel to not stop what you're doing mm-hmm. now, to not take that six-year break again, to not veer off of the path. Like, that should be fueling your tank to push you forward, but you can't let that be the steering wheel of your brain.
Yeah, yeah.
Because sometimes that should try to take the steering wheel away. Yeah. You're like, what path are we going down?
Yeah.
How is this even helping me?
Exactly.
This is not helping me get nowhere, but that is good fuel to be like, don't stop, because I remember I stopped before and I regret that.
Yeah, yeah.
And regret is hard to deal with. Regret is hard to carry, because it'd be like, fuck, there'd be certain opportunities and things that I thought of where I'm like, I got that and I did that, but I didn't enjoy it. And yeah. I regret that of like, why didn't you enjoy that time? Because now you over here about to do the next thing, or when you get into the next thing, or you're working on the next thing, but it'd be like, when you have these things, you don't even enjoy them.
Yeah.
Why don't you enjoy this shit? Because you are worried about the next year, or you're worried about it while you're in there, and you just see that, and it'd be like, those are my biggest regrets of like, damn. Like you said, the shit that you did get, enjoy it. Yeah. And then when your brain is thinking of all the shit of like, well, I'm not doing this and I need to do this and I da da da. Sometimes it's okay to reminisce in those memories because 9 times out of 10, we don't live in the moment.
Yeah.
And we don't enjoy the good moments. So sometimes when I am thinking too far down a bad path, I'll be like, fuck that. And I'll make my brain start remembering good moments. Whether it's when I was little and I was going to get a Christmas tree with my family. Like, you know, like small shit. Like, damn, I really did enjoy that. That was a really fun memory. And we was wearing this and that was good and this was good. And because why? And it's social media that makes our brain so veer on the negative now, for sure.
You think so?
I think.
I think the possibility of social media leading you down a bad path is really, you know, high. But I also, a way to combat, excuse me, all the negativity is I try to work hard on preparing, you know, myself. So even if it's social media, a lot of people have to realize you choose who you follow.
Mm-hmm.
You choose what you look at and what you're paying attention to. So my feed looks very different than somebody else's feed because I see a lot of business advice or money advice or just positivity and funny, you know, people versus you follow all of the accounts of, you know, hashtag millionaire, hashtag big house, hashtag a lot of money. So you just scrolling and seeing all the money you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And then it makes you go,
damn, I really don't have that much money. Yeah, like, you know? People really, we don't need all those reflections.
So it's like, unfollow these things and follow people who gonna actually teach you how to make money. True. Or follow people who are actually going to help you to be more positive. Or you know, I keep doing this like I'm scrolling. Anyway.
But I mean, it you know, it sells it on the, you know, the act out. You need the act out.
So those are the things that, you know, kind of I do. How are you helping yourself? And thinking about, Chris, always move forward. Yes, you got this moment. Yes, you didn't get, whatever the case is. What can you think today? What can you do to think that's going to push you forward?
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that? Okay, boom. Let me read a little bit more of this writing book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me read a little bit more of this whatever. So when those moments and those opportunities come, all I got is preparation in me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all that's going to come out, all the things that I've been learning and reading and helping myself, you know, because you got to train your brain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, negativity, people who think negatively all the time, it's only
you gotta understand negativity is a survival instinct. Like, your brain is being negative because we're just like a lot of animals out here. Well, every animal, they have to survive. So when they're like this in the jungle, they're not doing that because it's like their brain is being negative. No, bitch, they trying to fucking survive. Is that a fucking hyena trying to get me? Nigga, what the fuck is that? So our brain is negative to try to save us from the hyenas of the whatever fucking is going on in your life. So it is a survival instinct.
Yeah. And then on top of that,
but it can easily turn into paranoia because we're very, very smart.
Because you have to realize you ultimately, no matter what you think, no matter what people say, you have control over your thoughts.
You do.
You know, so when you're in that survival mode, that's, or AKA stress mode, you know, you got to realize there are certain chemicals being released when I'm stressed versus when I'm positive. So
serotonin?
I have to, on top of that, control it, bring my stress level down, you know, and then think positive because your cells only duplicate themselves. So your negative thoughts are real things in your brain, and it's only creating more negative thoughts. So you got to take those things, you got to pull them down. You know, that's the church part in me. Scripture talks about pulling those things down.
Yeah.
That's real. You got to pull it down and then replace it. You know, so a lot of people just, their self-talk is negative. Like, oh, even if you feel bad, like, then what? Like, don't let there be a period after that. I feel bad, but
Because you gotta be real with yourself. You know, I don't think you should. I don't believe in fake positivity where it's like, there's nothing wrong and everything isn't that and da da da.
Yeah.
And that's where comedy comes into me because when I talk to myself and I say something, I'm like, bitch, you know you shouldn't have done that shit. Or I'm like, you out here to get stupid as hell. What the fuck is you doing? You know, and I make myself laugh about something that is negative that I have to process because there's a positive and there's negative. That's the magnet, you know, that's what we are taught. That is life. That's chemistry. That's science. That's everything. There's positives and negatives. But to process those negatives, ooh, comedy helps.
Yeah.
Ooh, it helps it turn it into a positive or at least make a negative feel like a positive because you're going to have negatives in life. Some shit you're not going to get. Some jobs you're going to lose. Mm-hmm. People you're going to lose. Cars, everything. Nothing is permanent. Everything changes. Nothing is guaranteed. Yeah. Like, the shit is real. And some shit that works in other people's favor works against you. Every time you didn't get a job, somebody else got it. Yeah. So it's like, it's a negative for you. It's a positive for somebody else. But if you can't make yourself laugh in those negatives, learn how to do something, bitch. Make a pecan pie. Do something. Don't cry.
Don't cry. Make a pecan pie.
Hey, like, see how we switched sayings. That's great.
Yeah. No, that's really dope. Yeah. That's really dope. Okay, so you didn't want to talk a lot about it earlier, and you still don't have to, but. How do you are you entertaining relationships? Like, is this something that you're, are you actively saying nope? Or are you actively saying I'm looking? Or are you like,
Well, this week, what fucking name is it? So, I've been celibate for a year. This was the last endeavor.
Yo.
But, shout out to him. But yeah, I've been celibate. I've been celibate. Me myself for a year, and
that's that on was on purpose. Okay.
Yes, that was on purpose. That was me fighting the sex thing. I'm like, no, and I would tell guys I'm celibate, and it would still be like
trying to convince
that celibacy
you.
Shit. You know, so I had to really lock her down. You know, and I'm happy that I did it. A low-key, it's been so peaceful in a way that I kind of want to extend it to my birthday in September and, like, add another, like, 6 months to it or some shit.
And is this because you were distracted by dick? You were what was happening?
Yeah, it'd be like every time I be with somebody, then we be in a relationship. And so then the relationships and the attachments and the territorialness and the toxicity of what us as people now think relationships are is really bad for me. Like, I've never had a good relationship. Well, obviously, if I did, I'd still be with the nigga, right? But that's but to say, were, obviously.
They were all bad?
It wasn't just them, too. It was me. I felt like the last time I was in a relationship, I was trying to be celibate for a year, and I made it to 6 months, and it was a friend who I was with who I knew for, like, 3 years. Mm-hmm. And so that time, I knew that I still had a lot of healing to do from a relationship that had damaged me before that.
Okay.
And I was like, no, like, I'm trying to heal from this, and I tried to be on it. But then we had a really strong connection. I really loved them, and it was like, oh, let's try this. And then all of everything that they had, it was like, damn, you got all of these fucking issues. And that's why I'm like, whether it's a relationships when things and this and that, I feel like he be out here trying to play the fucking victim, which you be like, nigga, you know, because I'm not out here trying to play the victim. And you did a lot of fucked up shit. But I feel like both people have to accept in some way where you're just damn hurt people, damage people, fuck up people and make them other damage. And if I don't look at my shit and fix my shit, then I'm going to do it to somebody else. And now I got to say no to people who aren't trying to work on themselves or who haven't fixed themselves and who haven't. Everybody got childhood traumas. Have you worked on your childhood traumas?
Okay. I am always kind of thinking about my trauma because I have adult trauma, you know, as well. Like this, I bring it up every now and then. My dad, the most recent thing that's happened to me, since we're on me now, is my dad was murdered in 2016.
Oh, I'm sorry for that.
So, thank you. It's always weird when you say that and people say sorry. Like, are you supposed to thank them, I guess? Or I appreciate their sentiment, whatever the case is. Anyway, so that is something that it was 4 years ago, but it comes up like often. I just saw the Pixar movie Onward, which is about two brothers trying to find their daddy. The little brother never met his daddy. The older brother, his dad died when he was, like, little. So, you know, they found out their dad was a wizard.
He was sitting there watching a movie like, fuck, I gotta get out of here.
Yo, like, 7 minutes in, I was like, Pixar,
I got to get out of here.
Here we go. Okay.
I didn't sign up for this.
And
I gotta read the synopsis.
Yeah, like, but a month ago when I saw the trailer, I was like, it's gonna be good.
And that's a form of PTSD. And even though we always associated PTSD to, like, Army and Soldiers of War. It's, like, PTSD. And I wish we could find another word for it because I like for them to have it. But it is, like, it's a trauma that your body and your brain, when I was looking it up, it hasn't found a file to put it in yet. So your brain is trying to find, this is traumatic, and we've never dealt with this before. And it's trying to find some file to put it in, and it can't. And things can trigger traumatic shit for that.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I knew it was...
I've walked out of a movie before when I've been going through some shit, and I've been like, I can't get the fuck out. And I left. Yo. My whole family, I was like, I gotta go. I started having a panic attack.
I had a friend of mine who experienced the same thing. For some... she knows I love her. Dumb reason. She went to whatever the Tyler Perry movie was when it was talking about all the women and all of their trauma. Like seven girls, seven women. No, it was like...
Colored girls?
For colored girls. Boom. She was like, she just got out of a bad relationship. And she was like, I'm going to be okay. I'm a ghost. Let me go see this movie because it's for colored girls. But she didn't read the rest of the title. Like, she didn't know it was all other shit. So that movie, I've never seen it, but I heard that movie got a lot of trauma.
I cried.
So homie dropped his kids off the balcony or whatever. She screamed out loud in the theater. Like, and she had to leave. And I was like, fam, why did you pick that movie? What was you thinking? She said, I didn't know it was. I said, girl, you gotta read.
You gotta read
it is fundamental and it's your friend. So anyway, trauma. So I'm always, just because I'm always paying attention to my emotions, I'm like, yo, how do I feel? How do I feel today? Like, it's his birthday. You good? Are you sad? It's cool, be sad. Blah blah, you know.
And acknowledge and really go through that, and people don't do that, they be like, lock it out. And then you get in a relationship with them. And you do one thing, and they be like, whoa, open the trauma fucking floodgate. Where the hell did all of this come from?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you be sitting there and be like, oh, it's because of this, and oh, because of that, and oh, you dealt with this, and damn, in middle school, you was that. Damn, okay, because your family was this. Oh, you grew up over here, then y'all moved over there. That's where this came from. And, you know, sometimes you either are willing to work with it through that person, and I felt like if we was both in normal meaning, like not in the entertainment industry, we would have time to sit there and work on it. But at this point, it's like, I don't have time to work on somebody's traumas, nor do they have time to work on mine.
Right.
And I got to get my shit. And then when I get to where I got to go, I'll pick somebody from there. Because the moment I want a nigga, I'm going to get a nigga. That's what I do know about me. You know? It's like, the day I wake up and say, I want a man.
It's done.
It's over. It's done. I got options. I'm going to pick from whoever I want. There's people. They're available. And I'm going to pick. But I don't want to pick right now. Right now, I want to work. And I want
to
grind.
I think that's good. Again, because of the industry that we're in, it's to the outside people looking in, it's like you have this and you have that. So your life is good because my life is not good because I don't have what you have. And that's false. Like, people... in entertainment are a lot of times worse off because they haven't dealt with things and then you give them a lot of money.
And you don't have the time and space because people are always in your face. Like if you go
do this.
To McDonald's and the cashier person is rude to you, you like, this bitch mad because she works at McDonald's. Fuck this hoe. Fuck your life. But if you go to a fucking concert or an interview or a magazine shoot or something, you deal with a celebrity and they happen to be rude that day, it's like, bitch, why? How could you ever?
Yeah.
It's like, maybe that McDonald's cashier is normally really nice, but she was having a bad day. But you don't equate that because you'd be like, oh, whatever. You just, bitch, you hate your life. Fuck it. But from here, we feel like you got all of this. You have no room to hate your life. You got this. You got millions of dollars. You got the man everybody wanted. Hella hoes want him. And they'd be like, he's a terrible fucking person.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about who I did. You know, I don't think he got hella hoes. It's medium, but you know, I don't want to hype niggas up like that. But niggas, you know, but no, but it's real.
It's very real. Yeah. It's very real, and yeah, and it's something that I've thought about. And I decided that, boom, I got goals. I'm going to Cali. But I'm also going to Cali to help fellow entertainers. Mm-hmm. Like, that was an intentional thing. Like, this is, yes.
Why?
Because we go through a lot of shit.
Mm.
And my, you know, Sid is my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
So I have, him and I have gone through things together for like almost 20 years,
yeah.
You know, and I'm like, yo, this is one person. Mm-hmm. He's one person to me. I'm one person to him.
Mm-hmm.
But there are, it's hella people there
mm-hmm.
going for that. How many of them have a dope friendship mm-hmm. to be able to, yo, no. My father died. No. Yo, my da 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 da. Like,
I probably got hundreds and hundreds of friends in the entertainment industry and would probably really be able to call. Not be able to call, but would call two, maybe yeah. three if somebody in my family passed. Like, the yeah. rest would just hear it from online and then from there we could take yes. it for to condolences. But we don't have that super close yeah. friendships like that because people always will choose work over it. And
yeah.
we be thinking people are our friends because we hang out with them and work feel like hanging out, but they just coworkers at the end of the day. And then some shit will pop up. You be like, oh, you motherfucking right. You yeah. ain't my friend. You sure yeah. right.
You know, so it was right. very real for me when I was like, yo, I want it. Because I know people. Because here's the thing. Me and my, if I consider a person my friend, first of all, it ain't got nothing to do with them and how they treat me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be a friend to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm super intentional about what I have mm-hmm. decided.
Mm-hmm.
And the average person is not like that. Like, mm-hmm. the average person won't really, they may vibe with me, but mm-hmm. I'll be too much.
Mm-hmm.
If I call you and say, hey, you good today?
Mm-hmm.
And then you want, you know, talk about or discuss or, mm-hmm. hey, yesterday, last week, whatever you told me, whoop, whoop, whoop. How's that going?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yo, are you? And I'm like, if you don't want it,
leave me alone. I'm trying to make a fake Instagram post right now.
Right.
Like,
you know,
I'm trying to talk to you in real life.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm real intentional about my friends because I know if I'm going through something, of course you're going through, you know, something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I want to be available.
I learned for me probably a couple years ago, and this is what has help me, I think, keep my sanity, is like my gifts and my everything is not meant for my peers. It's meant for the random people that I don't know who are out there. Because when I pour into my peers
mm-hmm.
and I see, you know, it's like with the sower, like they're not, it's not good soil to plant seeds into.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kept planting seeds.
Yeah.
And it's the stony ground, it's the thorny ground, it's the all the different grounds, and I'm sowing these seeds and I'm not seeing the fruit of it.
Yeah.
And to me, it's not that I need no fruit back, but the world need the fruit back.
Yeah.
Somebody need it back. It's not good ground. Y'all just take what I have for you,
mm-hmm.
but you don't in any way bring it back to this bigger purpose of bringing light to the world.
Yeah.
People don't be on that frequency. They just really want money, want fame, want this, want that, want that, I want do. So I'm like, you know what? It's a couple people who I keep close to me like family, but then for the rest of the people, I just have to keep it like this. Like, it's a wall. And then it's the people who I fuck with, who I always, any good thing happen to them, I'm their biggest cheerleader. I'm like right there on the sideline. I'm anything you need, any time of the day, whatever, I'm there for you. But I only got to choose a couple of y'all to be there.
Yeah.
The rest of my peers, it'd be like, I didn't mean to put you on that side of it, but no.
I get it. I know.
I mean, we just met. But I'm saying, not just met, but like, people that, like, you have to be around on set with for, like, 10-hour days, 5 days a week and shit like that, even when you're around them that much, my instinct is to pour into them.
Yes.
It's so into them.
Yes.
And God, like, no.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah,
like, it's not what I asked you to do. That's not why I made your light. Your light's not for them.
Yeah.
And they have their own lights, and there's certain things that I feel like I even have to ask permission to be like, can I give them pieces of this? Like, can I share my gift for that? Can I give to this or that or these? But for the most part, a lot of these people, they're not good soil to sow your seeds into.
Cynthia, you better read your Bible. No, that's true. You better get seeds. But here's the thing. The dope part about that is the fact that you even ask God in the beginning, like, hey, how can I? Because my instincts is.
I did it before I do now.
Right, yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
I did it till I'm tired. I'm looking at my bag, like, where the hell are my seeds? Yeah. Why I'm so good? Yes,
my instinct is the same. If I see you more than three times, then I'm like, oh snap,
this feels training.
Okay, cool. You know, it starts getting deeper for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I start to get interested in your life and what's going on. Like, how can I support that? What do I need to do? Do I need to follow you? Do I need to download something? Like, what do I need to do? You know, and the fact that you have learned to have this dialogue where it's like, God, like, what's up with this person? Mm-hmm. Like, give me some vibes. Like, what do I need to? Is this too much or is this not enough? Like, what's going on? And just that right off the bat, you can be led in so many. The directions that you will go after that will benefit you more and benefit you and the person more as well because you're selective in what you do. Because that's the reality. That's what faith is. People say these things about faith is believing hard and this and this that. Okay, yes, but the literal word, like translation in the Greek, is like God's persuasion. Mm-hmm. So when God is persuading you, talk to them. Mm-hmm. Don't talk to them. Like, and then you do, that's you moving on faith. Mm-hmm. That's you moving in the direction that he wants you to go because you're listening. And a lot of people don't listen. They just do.
And I think people forget that, like, the practicality of even faith in God is, like, it really is very practical in a way. Like, if God gives you 17 seeds, would you just walk by a dirt pile and throw some seeds in there, which could be somebody passing by and you done sat there and planted this or gave this idea away or overpoured into these people and it's a pile of dirt 400 miles from your house. You done poured your holy water on it and left it, and it's never going to grow into anything because it was a waste. But you done wasted three valuable seeds that you could have took to your house, planted in your backyard, watched over diligently every day and grow into beautiful trees. It's like, don't take that for granted. And your seeds are your gifts. Your seeds are your resources, you know? So, hey.
Do you hear what she said? She said, you gotta be diligent over your seeds. You can't just be throwing it on rocky soil like this because the
weeds. And it's hard because they're people. These soils be people that you love and that you see and you wanna.
Man, like that. If y'all didn't know, that's Bible. These weeds and thorns will choke the life out of that because it wasn't the right soil.
And then, like, we be so mad at God, like, I don't got no fruit in my life. It ain't no trees I can go to pick none of. Like, I gave you 17 seeds.
I gave you. And you were, wow. We being frivolous. That's just you being frivolous. It's not even like you thought God would. Because if you think God is leading you to do something and you go based off that, God will still find a way to duplicate that. Mm-hmm. But when you just frivolous with it, like you ain't paying, you just here, there. Like, he's like, I can't do nothing with that. Like,
and on top of that, God gave you those seeds because he wanted it to grow into something. So if you're not going to grow that, I have to give those seeds to somebody else because this has to be grown.
This has to be, I actually preached a message about God wanting us to be profitable. Mm-hmm. God is profitable. Mm-hmm. He made us, we're his children, so we have his image and likeness. So we're supposed to do what he does, which is be profitable. Mm-hmm. And you got to realize the things that you're saying and the things that you're doing in some way, shape, or form. It needs to be profitable. It won't always be money. Sometimes it will be, you know, you helping somebody else, giving them positivity or them grace. But be profitable. You know, you be a friend to people and be strategic, like Cynthia said. But then that person is then friendly to other people. Mm-hmm. That's profit. Mm-hmm. They're increasing, you know.
And even if you look at it, it's like tithes and offerings. It's like tithe. It's like, okay, cool. With these seeds, I have to plant these in the good. I have to do this. I have to do that. But the offerings, which is the extra, those are the people where it's like, I know you can't give me nothing back, but I have extra love to give. I have extra. So it's not that you have to be like, fuck people. We don't care about y'all. Because it's like, no, you can always offer love, not being like, this is that. But as far as the profit, yeah, it got to, this gotta grow into something. If we're images of God, and when God gets too big for me to even understand or fathom, I'm like, well, if I base it off of the image of us being that and being reflections of that, this higher being, then it's like, oh, what do we do every day that we don't want to see progress in?
Yeah.
If God is invested in our lives and giving us things and blessings and things to oversee and manage and do, whether it's a pet, whether it's a foundation, whether it's a new friendship, new job, new car, new building, new pair of shoes, whatever it is, a bigger closet, like, there's just things that you get in life that you're supposed to manage and put progression into. And sometimes we stop progressing, and then we do kind of look at God and be like, what? And it's like, man.
Right. I didn't do that. You did that. Oh, man, I said it.
But it's endless, and you can always go ask for more seeds, but know that you have to take that humble pie, and that's the part of the regret putting the fuel in the tank. Look at that regret and be like, I really wasted 17 seeds. Yeah. I can't sit here in front like I didn't, because my bag is empty. There's no more seeds in here. I wasted these seeds. Cool, I accept that, and I carry that. Yeah. Now, can I get more? Yeah. And I'm going to do it right, and I'm not going to do it this way. So now when I get seeds and I get my things, I'll be like, it's not for my peers. It's not for the people who don't want to add to adding light to the world, or who aren't on the same purpose of, like, if you're just driven by things that I'm not driven by, it's not love, it's not faith, family, none of that. Your purpose is different than mine. I'm not giving you no seeds, nigga. Fuck out my face. That's how I feel.
Cynthia, this is good, yo.
What did we talk about? It's a beautiful rainy day.
This is good.
Yeah.
Man. No, that's... Wow. That's mad dope. What time? Where are we at now? Get it. 51? Get it.
Lit.
I like it. I like it. All right. So, last thing. Comedy. Like, what things are funny, you know, to you? Like, do you get comedy from your life, or you being observant about what's going on? Like, what have you been looking and reading and thinking about that's funny?
You know what's funny to me? What's funniest to me is when people aren't trying to be funny.
Okay.
Which is another reason why it's been hard for me to get into stand-up, because it's like, I hate having to try to be funny. Because you can have a naturally funny personality in a room, but then when you have to be funny, I hate when it feels like people are forcing it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, which is why I like when people do start to know you more, because then people will pay attention, or they've seen you somewhere, or seen you go up before, and now it's their second time. They listen more.
Yes.
And they're not, you know, trying to make you have to be like, face ass, you know? It's like, I can really just say shit that I'm just feeling. So I just watch random, like, I don't really like watching stand-up specials. I don't really like watching things that are supposed to be funny. I like watching random shit on YouTube where people, like, don't even know they're being funny, but they're being so themselves, but the shit of what they're saying is so funny in a situation or a funny way to react to it. That's what makes me laugh.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, normal people, they don't even be knowing, like, dog. Like, even some of the memes and shit, I'm like, some normal-ass people tweet some of the funniest shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Normal, because they got to go through so much shit. And we get caught up in this entertainment bubble.
Yeah.
And then you fuck around being around some people who don't have to entertain for a living, and they're so entertaining.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you be around people who have to entertain, and they be so dry because they're tired of doing it. And they got to put on this, like, I'm entertaining, and then they be tired of doing it, and they run out of shit. But then it's normal people... They be entertaining the fuck out of me. I'm like, God damn, y'all are some crazy ass people. What the fuck?
I get it, man. I get it. I did a mic, and I was just kind of talking to Sid about it. And he was like, no, talk about that. I had planned. I wrote some stuff out, I'm going to say this. And he was like, eh. And
he was like,
And then I was like,
Sid, what you could do is, I mean, instead of like, once he give you advice and you give him a little pushback on it, like, well, not, because I think, oh, yeah, then do it your way. Yeah, for sure. It'll hit me with that quick. Then, yeah, then not do it your way. Yeah, I'm done. Like, he'll be like, yeah, no, look it.
That dude has been in my corner. Yeah, he's been in my corner for a long time. But he was like, no, talk about your son. Mm-hmm. My son has ADHD. Mm-hmm. And it's been like a new process, you know, mm-hmm. for everybody. Because I'm like, the nigga got it, but he knows.
Does he take pills for it?
No, he doesn't. Mm-hmm. He because it's, because everything from the diagnosis to us dealing with it to trying to help him, everything is so new that we're like, hey, let's take this one step at a time. Let's not rush to this.
And are you for sure that it's a real one? Because you know they all
a real one?
No, because for real. It's a whole, like, conspiracy theory where they be like, they're just trying to say that all these black kids got ADHD. And remember they were trying to pull all the kids on Ritalin back, like, in the early 2000s and shit? They was like, no, they're just diagnosing all these inner city, like, school. Can I say? And they're just like, inner city school. But it's like, they really were saying a lot of these kids who just don't want to be in school or don't like their school or have this going on or are more energetic and need to be fed this way because they got a lot of energy. People like, they have ADHD. And it's like, no, I really just have a lot of energy and I'm probably going to be a billionaire one fucking day. And this shit is boring to me. I'm not more advanced than everybody because I don't want to sit here all day. And it's like, I probably have ADHD.
Yeah.
But.
Well, no, this nigga got it.
So
here's the thing. The only reason I'm saying that is because this isn't just like a one day when he got into sixth grade, like, oh, he was like, I'm talking about since kindergarten. Mm-hmm. Since kindergarten, it's been like, Caleb. Now, on the flip side, like what you said, smart. And that's not like I'm his daddy, so I just think everything he does is smart.
Right.
When actually this should be dumb. Mm-hmm. No, he's really smart. So it's been situations where, you know, he was in class, he's like little and he's supposed to be doing whatever. Where's Caleb? He's not in his seat. He's looking out of the window like, butterfly, like, look. Hey, no, you have to do your work. Mm-hmm. Like, since he's been in school. Now, it was easier when he was out of school because you just think, oh, he's got energy like a kid. Mm-hmm. It's way more grace, mm-hmm. you know, but then when you put him in a structured environment like school, which I kind of, I have some agreements with you as far as school ain't really set up the right way. That's my own soapbox, whatever. Yada, yada. So we've been dealing, you know, with that since forever. Mm-hmm. You know, not turning in work. He was in first grade and the teacher was like, he self-teaches. Mm-hmm. Like, he don't listen to me when I teach. Mm-hmm. He does what he's distracted, he's doing whatever. Then I give him the paper, and then he looks, and then he teaches himself how to do it.
Because you're boring, lady, and I don't want to listen. I must have ADHD. I must have these things like, bitch, that's not about you. Like, I'm like, yeah, give me it. What do I got to do? Yeah. My brain is moving fast.
So it's been...
Which is not a bad thing.
No, not at all. My thing has just been, how do I teach him? God, how do I teach him...
To slow down.
Because ADHD, it's like...
He can't smoke weed like me yet.
No, he can't. So some people, their thoughts slowly float by, but it's a lot of them. Some people thoughts is like... So you like, let me catch this one, and let me catch this one.
Butterfly,
so
like, that's what it...
You know, that type of thing.
So, and then you find the happiest one, and you be like, it's a butterfly. I don't want to be in this room. If I see a butterfly out there, and that's what my brain is like...
Yeah. This dude,
I'd rather go to that one.
He is a super happy kid. If he gets in trouble, as soon as the trouble is over,
can I play
PlayStation? No, you're in trouble. He is 11. He's about to be 12.
So did you all tell him he has ADHD?
Yeah.
And what did he say?
He has ADHD, so 5 minutes later...
that's your problem.
Like, all right, okay, but can I play on the PlayStation?
Right.
Like, what are we talking about? Like, that's him, you know? So it's been interesting just me... learning patience, because I know it. That don't mean I don't get frustrated when he don't empty the dishwasher. Mm-hmm. That don't mean I don't get frustrated when we're halfway to church and you didn't put deodorant on. Mm-hmm. Okay. Caleb, like, that's, you know, we went to the Mavs game yesterday. We leaving. I left my hoodie in the seat. We roll with them, so we can't go back and get it. And this is your fifth hoodie that you've lost. Just go, like, so in my mind, I'm like, all of this ain't really his fault. Mm-hmm. You know, what do I do? So it's been a challenge, more so for me. Like, sometimes I'm like, I wish I had it just so I can know what you're going through so I won't be upset.
And we could be here together like, fuck it, let's fight too, bro.
We could just be like, ah, you know?
But that's life.
I'm stressed.
And you thinking the other way, like, I'm meticulous and I think this way. And I'm like, because I could imagine being the type to double check, triple check, make sure I didn't leave my hoodie, and that's my type. And then I have a kid who's the total opposite.
Yes.
And I'd be like, what do I do now?
Yes.
What do I do? Because it's not that I want to make you me. You have to be you.
Yeah, I just don't want you to lose your shit, sir. I just don't want
be
you
the
to
best you.
Flunk science. Right. When you know, it'd be different if you don't know. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. You just didn't turn the paper in. Why? Mm-hmm. Because you went to the park. Mm-hmm. What that got to do with, you had your paper at the park? I did, because I drew a picture and I was showing my friend Simon and then I left it. How does all of that even go together? Just go in your, you know, so I got to recalibrate all the time. Like, is this, how important is this? That's what I say a lot. Mm-hmm. How important is how I feel right now? It's not that important. It's not. But people spending money on these hoodies. Mm-hmm. Like, we done bought.
We done got a hoodie tree in the backyard.
When does it get important? When this is the sixth hoodie now. Mm-hmm. Is it important now? Like, Caleb, you don't even, your clothes don't even match. This is what I told another. This was scary. Everything, he wants to do everything real quick. Like, I'm done. You not brush your teeth. Caleb.
I'm done.
Did you brush your teeth? Yes. Let me see your teeth. And he's like this. Mm-hmm. Caleb, all of this shit here, all of this is because you not brushing your teeth. I said, listen. So now I'm because since you can't do it right, I'm going to brush. And he's like, ha, 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 ha. Caleb, you're going to be embarrassed either way. Either you're going to be embarrassed because I'm going to film myself brushing your teeth for you and upload it on your own YouTube channel. Or you're going to be embarrassed because your teeth going to rot and they're going to fall out and other people going to talk about you.
Yeah.
Now, I told my wife and she said, well, let's not do any of those.
I
started to think like that will really affect him. Mm-hmm. Like, that will increase anxiety or do whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you thought in your brain to do, like you were talking about earlier, all the dark shit that you go, you thought of that in your mind. That you was going to do that to your son. Mm-hmm. Well, that's when I got to be like, okay, let me.
Back up.
But it's his teeth, though.
Yeah, it's important. My mom was trying to teach my nephew. She's like, okay, so if somebody comes to you, like just the good old candy in the van trick. If somebody comes to you and says, I have this, you have to get in the van. Do you go? He's like, mm-hmm.
No.
5 years old. She's like, no.
She's like,
okay, what if it's, because he loves, like, you know, firefighters. So she's like, what if it's a firefighter and he comes and he's like, I need you to help me come save a fire. And he's dressed in a fire costume. Do you go with him? He's like, mm-hmm. She's like, no. You know, it's like there's important things that we have to teach our kids.
My gosh.
And then she gave him another situation. He was like, no. She's like, I can tell you want to say yes. Like, you would go.
You would be in the car.
He was like,
you. We at the American Airlines Center. Caleb, stay with us. Stay with us. Stay. It's a gang. It's packed. Mm-hmm. Caleb, stay with us. Because some kids, for whatever reason, if some shit go down, they would be like, no! I don't know if my kids, he wouldn't, no, I'm not supposed to go. But I don't, Caleb, I can't trust you if you lost me somewhere.
Mm-hmm. For you to fight your way back.
Go to the right person.
It's scary.
Like, what you gonna do in the seventh grade? Like, I can't do this for you, bro. Mm-hmm. Your pants and your shirt don't match. Those ain't my clothes. Those are your clothes. Did you smell this? Who is that? It's my shirt. That's you, nigga. That's you.
That's you. Smelling
the
shoes.
You stinking the shoes.
I got the patience for kids. Period.
For kids. Period. Mm-mm. Okay. At any age. Mm-mm. Okay.
Like, even if I do have kids, I need a lot of assistance from my mom and sister.
What about the nigga? The nigga? Okay.
I don't want to get married and have kids with a nigga. I want to find somebody who is basically, like, going to be my baby's father. So I want them to have good genes and be successful, like, be wealthy enough to be worth having a kid with. So that way it'd be, like, cool. Because I want to give my kid the biggest head start they could have. So it's like, your mom is good, she's successful. Your dad is good, he's successful. When you with me, you living a great life. When you go visit him in the summer because I need a motherfucking break, I'm on tour. You with your dad, you living a great life. And we're happy together.
That's the best.
He's a rich man who got hella hoes. He's never going to commit to one woman. That's fine. I'm a successful bitch who busy doing her own thing. So I want that.
We don't have enough time to go into this. Into what she's thinking.
But that's
thinking.
What I'm thinking is going to be. This is not what I wanted, the normal husband, normal this and that. I'm just looking at my life path like, oh, what I'm headed to is just a rich baby daddy. That's where I'm headed. You know? I wanted a husband and a family.
You wanted. Okay.
Yeah, but then that shit sailed. So now I'm like, well.
She sounds like she's 57, like,
no,
these are the cards I've been dealt.
I'm smart and some shit, yeah, if some shit don't work, I'm like, cool.
You're smart? Is that what you just said?
Yes, if relationships in the entertainment industry, they don't really work out, the type of man who I like, who I'm attracted to, you know, they be attracted to a lot of bullshit, so it'd be like, cool.
Wait, what is that?
Men
like,
who are in the limelight,
like
or, no, men who are in the limelight or in the entertainment industry, it's just too many hoes, too many groupies, too many all this and that.
Okay.
I have trust issues. I don't need to fix my trust issues. I just need to not trust anybody. So what I'm going to do is never trust a nigga, and I'm just going to, I do want a baby, though. So it's like, I don't want a husband, I want a baby. So
listen. Everybody's on their own journey towards
happiness.
You know, towards growth is what I was getting ready to say. But whatever, like, what? So everybody right now, if you're looking at this, let's pray right now. Thank you, Lord, for Cynthia.
And my rich baby daddy, she's sending my way.
Now this is dope.
If you're looking for some advice or some suggestions for your life, you can give us a call on the Witty Vice hotline at 817-823-7959.